In a world that can be challenging, and at times unpredictable, it's hard to find moments to focus on what you need. Join Stephanie James on The Spark as she guides you to use your inner flame to ignite your best life. As a best-selling author, psychotherapist, transformational life coach, and international show host, Stephanie is dedicated to helping you create a life that takes you, your goals, and your passions to the next level, so you can live a life that is fully lit up and fully alive. She believes that your life is meant to be a beautiful expression of the things that light you up. That by living your dreams, you give permission to others to do the same. Are you ready to feel alive and inspired to fuel your dreams and put a fire behind your desires? Let's ignite a spark in one another that will illuminate the world. The Spark, with your host, Stephanie James, starts now.
There she is.
Good morning.
How are you? I was trying to get in on the old link.
Yeah, I just, when I popped on Zoom, I'm like, that old link isn't working. I couldn't pull it up.
Yeah, no worries.
So this worked out okay?
Yes, it worked out fine. Thanks again for, I was in LA. It was, I don't know. I was just saying to somebody who was on another Zoom call about how life is about learning lessons. And so when you learn lessons, it's fantastic. The sad thing is that you don't continually apply them and learn. And so I flew to LA. I got up at 4 o'clock. I took a 7 o'clock flight, got down there about 10, did my talk from 12 to 1, came back from the hotel, had a late flight. Anyway, walked into my door, my condo at midnight. So it was like from 4 a.m. to midnight. And I wondered why I was freaking exhausted on the weekend.
Hello. But
I don't know. I'm traveling a lot more, and I'm sure you've done this before, and I'm sure Morgan's talked about it. You just have to do a good job planning, because as I've gotten a little older, the recovery period is just not as fast.
I know.
Oh, man.
Well, and how did it go?
It went really well. Thanks for asking. It was really nice. It was such a sudden deal because I got the gig a week earlier, but based on a cancellation and stuff. So it was really nice. And I always sort of judge how things go by how many people comment at the book table, what they thought of the talk. And that's kind of my best thing. You can say how many people are there or how many people bought books or all those things. But at least that's kind of my litmus test is how many, oh, I love the story about this, or you made such a good point about that. Or, you know, one lady told me she was crying at one point and she brought tears to my eyes and things. So any of those things where you impact people, as you well know, it makes it feel like it was a success.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
So how was your weekend?
It was good. It was good. Actually, one of the more rejuvenating weekends we've had in a long time.
Good.
We didn't go. I mean, we definitely got some work done, but we're trying to learn balance. That's like our new goal. Yeah. We're not great at it yet, but we're really trying to. And our Sundays right now, we're in this 2-hour meditation class Sunday nights from 5 to 7. And I think that just helps ground us and like center us in a way that, you know, it's like,
man,
okay.
It's 2 full hours of meditation.
So we meditate for like probably, we talk a little bit, meditate for probably 40 minutes and then talk again. Well, actually now it's starting last night, the class is 2.5 hours. She just extended it. So we have like 2 big kind of meditation periods. And then there's like talking beginning, middle, end.
Yeah. And what's the biggest, how's my favorite question on anything? What's your biggest takeaway from that?
I would say to me, what's happening with me, what I'm noticing is learning how to continually like let go of thoughts. I can really start noticing like when I'm clinging or I'm like, you know, like I've got like this desire and I'm like trying to push my will through. So even in meditation, like how do you just, it's like surrendering. And then for me, it's always, you know, we practice this where you're just connecting with the divine basically. And so it's, how do you do that? How do you really let go and be truly in the present moment? I think that's where the miracles happen.
Yeah. And I think the thing you mentioned about working on balance, having the Sundays to relax or whatever it might be. And my whole life, I worked for other people, for Nordstrom and for Lowe's. And, you know, I always realized that I always had a boss that could technically fire me and you're one phone call away from the unemployment line. So now for the last 8 or 10 years, I've worked for myself. You realize that, you know, when you're a motivated person as I am and you are, Morgan is. But at the same time, one of the new things that comes along is that balance. Because you control everything yourself, you have to really, I mean, there's occasionally I'll start to do something and I think I'm goofing off. And I just think, you can't think that way, my friend. I'm going to go watch some TV. Oh, you're just goofing off. You have things, because there's always things to do. There's always a list this long of things to do. It never stops. And so you could work 24/7 if you really didn't even need sleep. But finding that balance, that is a big challenge.
It is. It truly is. And so you've got it. And then it's being gentle with ourselves then when we take a break.
Yeah.
Instead of going like, what are you doing? And labeling it lazy instead of like, no, this is, I'm resting, I'm resourcing, and that we all need that. So.
Yeah. And one of the things that I noticed, Steph, is that I manage a lot of people at these stores. And so I felt I've met a lot of people and noticed their motivation or lack of motivation. And the reason why I try to continually cut myself some slack is because the Stephanie Jameses of the world, David Brooke, Morgan Oaks, whoever it might be, that's the exception. It's not the rule. The average person, in my humble opinion, managing a lot of people, are not all that motivated.
Mm-hmm.
Just not. And right. So to me, when you're operating, when you're operating at that high level, kind of, I understand how high is high, but I try to appreciate for myself or for you that we're already at a very high level compared to just the average person, because I met so many people that just going through life, they're nice people, no judgment, but just very little motivation and just give me one task to do at a time. I can't think about two things at the same time. And what are you excited about? I'm excited for the ball game this Saturday when the Seahawks play, you know, or something. I mean, that's kind of it.
Uh-huh.
You know, and uh-huh. It's fine. But when you operate at that really high level, I just think sometimes we want to stop and reflect and think, let's remember how fortunate we are that our DNA is such that we operate at that neat level, because it's pretty exciting.
It is. It truly is. It's like we're not just surviving life. I mean, it really is that difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, my computer, I don't know how to turn this tone off. It keeps, the reminders.
Oh, I heard that. Yeah. I wonder what that was. What is that?
You know, it's, I have this new Mac computer and I don't know how to turn off those notifications.
Oh, I know that. That's right. Be crazy.
Oh, so I'm really hoping that it doesn't do that too much throughout our interview.
Sure.
But, and I want to get some of this great juicy stuff on our interview. So what yes, we'll be course. Doing is like, I think, I'm not quite sure. So this is going to be on my new radio station.
Oh, which, great.
Yeah, so I'm thrilled. So this will be sent out. This will be on a syndicated network. So I think it's like at 128 different stations.
And, oh, wow. Fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah, and streaming and video and yeah. And a lot of miracles have happened since I spoke with you. And one of them is that my film got picked up by Plex Network.
Oh, congrats. By who?
Plex.
Yeah, good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, I thought it was really great. And I just, the perspective, and speaking of people that operate in the higher level, higher ecologies, as Ellen Malcolm Moore always says, but what a group of people you assembled for that. I mean, my goodness, talk about thought leaders. It was amazing.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, they're so phenomenal. And we're going to be on John Barbados' More You channel that hosts like Jack Canfield, Les Brown, Michael Bernard Beckwith, Lisa Nichols. I mean, I'm just like blown away. Wow. And when I met with Jonathan last week, he also wants to start doing my podcast episodes on Plex as
fantastic.
Well.
Fantastic. Oh, that's so exciting.
So it's exciting. Yeah. So I don't know that this one will be on there because all of the film starts in May, but I would love it if he did a couple of my archives and
yeah. Excellent. Oh, well. That'd be cool. Well, that's exciting. Well, congratulations, Steph. That's really cool.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's so exciting. Yeah, and moving ahead with her also we have a film crew now with Anna Dara and Film Nest, and she was the person that promoted What Dreams May Come with Robin Williams. That was her first thing.
Yeah.
And so they're filming our new series. It's going to be a series on Plex now. Which is going to be at my Becoming Fierce event at the end of June.
Nice. Nice.
Six new thought leaders. And we're going to do that Lights of the Round Table again.
Oh, that's so cool. And I just think if you probably look at the core of all this is just sticking with it. You mentioned, Robin Williams, Jack Canfield, whoever you want, Les Brown. I mean, you go any person you look to that's achieved that kind of level has gone back to a point where they were just starting out and they stuck with it and they just kept plugging one day after another. And I just think sometimes it's so important. It's not being defined by the days that you achieve so much. It's by the days you kept going when you were discouraged and you were thinking, well, nobody's ever heard me. And so that's such a inspiration to me. So that's very cool. I'm very happy for you. That's very cool.
Thank you. Yeah. It's barely sinking in now, it's just been like just since last Thursday when they offered me the contracts. So,
yeah. Well, and you're making a big difference. And I've heard that term so many times, making a difference. And the term I always use is I'm impacting lives. And people say, what do you do? And I said, well, I impact lives. And, there was, 150 people at that talk on Santa Monica. And so then I got to impact a bunch of lives and I got a bunch of emails and things like that. And you're not doing it for that. But when you impact people, look what you're doing. So you continue to do your reach and podcasts and radio shows and films. And, when you're really passionate about something, you want to get it to as many people as you can.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's just it, and to share it with, the people that are on that film on the When Sparks Ignite, 90% of them are my closest friends now.
Isn't that cool?
Since that event. And so it's like, I also, there's something just amazing for me feeling like I'm helping, not that all of them need help, Lord knows, but to continue to lift them up as well.
Sure. Sure.
And spread their reach and share their messages. And so that
it's and like you say, not that they need help, but I would add that everybody needs help. And I don't care who we are. And one of the reasons it's just very, I don't even know how to say this. It's sad that I have to use this as an example. But one of the reasons why I look at everybody needs help is because when something happens to somebody like Robin Williams, and he takes his own life, and you see things that people that are, there was a soccer gal, a star goalie at Stanford here a couple of weeks ago that took her own life. She was the star of the team and everything. And so, not just to be as dramatic with taking your own life, but I've just figured this out at my advanced stage on this earth is that everybody needs help. And it doesn't, the most famous, the most well-known people, it's like everybody needs a coach. I coach people, you coach people, I have coaches, we've had many coaches. And so we all need that. And so you never know, it can come with the form of Stephanie James or David Brooke or Morgan or whatever, but it's just to be able to play that role and to switch those hats and sometimes be the coach person and then be the coachee or the coacher, whatever, is just so exciting because I've met some people, honestly, Steph, that were, I was so impressed with. And I was even more impressed when they sort of expressed some of their vulnerability and the things that they were working on or worried about in life and wanted to get better at. So I just think we're all at different places on this journey, but we're all kind of heading towards the same place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, even the people that are just excited about the game, they're on their path. And
that's
so
right.
Hopefully, they get some of these messages and they realize, wow, I can do even more. I can be even more. I don't have to settle for kind of a doldrum life. And it's okay for me to like start going, wow, I could actually dream. I could actually create. I could actually, stay the course, if you will, and create what I want.
Well, and it's so, my favorite word, of course, is gratitude and being grateful. And I know you would agree with me when I say, I'm just grateful that I have this mindset. And somewhere in my DNA was I wanted to help people and make a difference. And I wanted to be a speaker from such a young age. And it worked out that way. And so I'm just the person that's going to the game. I'm so happy for them. That's their path. I'm just happy I'm on the path that I got. Because I just sort of, I feel sometimes there's divine intervention there. And if there's anything that you look back on life is be able to live your dream, I think is maybe the biggest thing of all. To find out what your purpose was and then to live it. So I know you're the same way. I feel pretty excited about that.
Absolutely. Well, okay. We can talk all day. We got to get this, we got to get this interview in. So I'm just going to go 3, 2, 1 and introduce the show. And then I will introduce you.
Sounds good.
Okay. We'll get this rolling. So 3, 2, 1. Welcome to The Spark. I'm your host, Stephanie James. So excited to have you here with us for this incredible show. I'm so thrilled to be with my new radio and podcast home, BBS Radio, and just thrilled with the guest that I have here with me today, my new dearest friend, David George Brook, the gratitude guy. David, so glad to have you here. David is an author, speaker, he's a storyteller. He worked in the corporate world for, gosh, David, how long?
Gosh, almost 25, 30 years, long
yeah,
time.
In 30 years. And so he's got quite a background and has written so many books and really is about inspiring and motivating people and helping them through, I think, you know, the practice of gratitude to actualize their life and dreams even more. So, David, so awesome as always to talk with you and to have you.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you so much. It's great to be here. I'm always very passionate about spreading the word of gratitude and how much having an attitude of gratitude can make a difference in life. And I remember you and I met not that long ago, and I said, oh my gosh, there's another like-minded person I met. It's just thrilling to me when you meet people that are on a similar path to want to make a difference in people's lives.
Absolutely. I know it was, you know, the sparks, as I say, you know, with the show, it's absolutely, that was, you and I got online together for our first conversation. I was like, wow, such an awesome connect with you.
Yeah, it's really nice. And I think too, when I mentioned the corporate world, that was 30 or 40 years and spent a long time being a store manager. I'd always wanted to be a speaker since I was 19 and finally realized my dream and excuse me, in my early 60s. But one of the things in this last 10 years that the word that I've used, I'm sure I thought about this immediately when I met you through my good friend Morgan, and that is like-minded. And in this last 10 years, with all due respect to the corporate world and the retail world that I lived in for a long time, I've never met so many like-minded people as I have in the last 10 years. And it's people that really want to affect change and impact people and just change lives. You hear all those types of terms, as I said earlier, impact lives. But it's just when you have a message that you feel like igniting the spark or the gratitude die or whatever, you want to get it to as many people as you can because you offer them a way of thinking and maybe even in a tough world that we're in right now, a coping mechanism that can help. And it's just rewarding when they kind of get it. It's really cool.
Yes. Well, and let's talk about that journey of yours. You know, what was it when you were in corporate and I believe you were a manager at Nordstrom's?
Correct.
What?
Correct.
Yeah. What?
Well, happy to tell
out
you
out of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Happy to tell you the story. I was just like on a lot of people's general path in life, high school and college and so forth, get married and that kind of thing. And when I was at high school, I graduated and went on to the University of Washington and had a teacher, wouldn't have emailed me back there. I guess he would have called me or something way back when. He says, can you come and speak to my senior class about what it takes to be successful? So I was a freshman at the U, I was 19. And I came back and spoke at his class at another high school in Seattle, Ingram High School. And so I did a 30-minute talk on what I thought it would take to be successful. And I still asked, Mr. Crum was his name, why did you pick me? And he says, I think you're going to be successful, which I was very flattered at the age of 19. So I went and I gave this talk and I went back to my car, got in my car and I sat there for a few minutes. And I thought, that's what I want to be when I grow up. I want to be a motivational speaker. It just hit me. Watching these kids, these students, pay attention to me and whatever I talked about on that day. And so I always had it in the back of my mind, but then life kind of got in the way and I went ahead and went to college and I got married and I got a job and I kept working. And my entire time I'd been thinking, I want to be this motivational speaker. When are you going to do it someday? So it turned out it wasn't until I was 62, having gone through all these different jobs and always in the back of my mind that boyhood or childhood dream. And so I decided one day, I remember exactly what it was, December 26, 2013. And I quit working as the store manager at Lowe's at the time and decided to start this journey. And the gratitude piece had kind of come along because I knew I wanted to be a motivational speaker. I didn't know what I wanted to speak about. And so along the way, I had unfortunately suffered a number of tragedies. And I know that you live long enough on this earth, you're going to have a fair amount of tragedies, but I had lost my mom in my 20s. to cancer. And then my father, unfortunately, took his own life. And then later, my wife passed away when my sons were 4 and 14. So I remember speaking to a friend of mine, and he says, you know, you could use some help. And have you ever thought about having a gratitude journal? I said, what is that? And he said, well, it's a journal you write in every day about everything you're grateful for. I went, oh, okay. And so I got a gratitude journal. I bought one on Amazon and started writing. And I noticed it made a big difference. And so that ultimately became my topic. And then I became that gratitude guy as a result of that. But that ended up being the topic. And then so the two kind of merged together, the topic and the be a motivational speaker. And it just was a journey I've been on for about 10 years now. And it just made such a difference. And as we said offline, it's just when you get to impact people and they tell you what your talk meant, what your book meant, what your journal meant, whatever it might be, in fact, the only thing I can mention is something that happened a few months ago is I'm one of those people, even though I'm from that generation of the 60s, I never smoked dope. I never smoked cigarettes. I just never did any of that stuff because I didn't think it was wise. And I just thought it's just there, you know, you never hear of a drug deal gone good. You know, it's all bad stuff. And so I never knew what that was like, but I did a talk in Las Vegas a couple months ago and it's 1,000 people. And as I'm coming off the stage, I get a standing ovation, and my talk was called Maximizing Your Gratitude Attitude. And as I walk off the stage, you get the standing ovation. And as I'm walking back to the book table, I'm thinking, this must be what cocaine is like, because it was like, man, I was a foot off the ground. My feet weren't even touching the ground. And so to have that impact. And so I've been doing that ever since. And it's taken all sorts of forms, from coaching to masterminds, to speaking keynotes, to workshops, to doing all sorts of teaching and things like that, but all around the subject of gratitude. And I'm just so thrilled that I found it, because what it did for me is it really kind of changed and really in many ways saved my life, having something to focus on every day. Because as I say with gratitude, and you can tell I could talk hours on end about this, but gratitude turns what you have into enough. It's so important to understand that concept. Gratitude turns what you have into enough. And for me, it's all about the fact that you're going to focus on what you have versus what you don't have. And it's a choice, like the glass is half full or half empty. You can get up on each side of the bed, left side, right side, positive, negative, grateful, ungrateful. But it changed my life. And so as a result of that, I decided I wanted to take that message to as many people as I could. So it's ended up being an absolutely wonderful journey these last 8 or 10 years.
And I can, as you and I have talked about before, I mean, I love that it's your passion for this. I mean, it's just that's why you have this energy that's just like, I just want to talk about it. I want to share this message. And we do know, I mean, it's a principle in physics, right? That what we focus on expands.
Yes.
So sometimes through just the simplest act of gratitude, as you do, you know, writing it down, really making it stick. Mm-hmm. That all of a sudden it starts changing then what we're focusing on the next day. I mean, I love doing actually gratitude first thing in the morning and then last thing at night.
Yes.
Because it will remind me, like, this is what I want to set my brain to. This is what I want to plug into, that reticular activating system part of our brain that notices things. Absolutely. I want to start noticing not just the big things, but the little things that we're grateful for as well, because then those expand.
And Stephanie, you make a great point, because to me, it's much more than just woo-woo science. And when I do my talk, I talk about a lot of the research that's been done, and people that have better health, longer lives, they sleep better, they have better relationships, they go see the doctor more often, they focus on their positive emotions, and they don't deal with toxic emotions like envy and jealousy and hate and things like this. So it's really rooted in science, and it makes a difference. And then to your point too about writing it, the gratitude journal that I have is in, and there's a little saying right at the beginning of the gratitude journal. It says, if you think about it, it's like a dream. If you talk about it, it inspires you. But if you write about it, it empowers you. And I can write, I am so grateful to Stephanie James for inviting me to be a guest on her podcast radio show. And it plants it in your brain. And when you get older, to the age I'm now in my 70s, is like, it's really important to have things in your brain and exercise your brain as much as it's important to exercise your body and be walking every day or exercising. So it's really, it's just really neat how I've seen this expand. And I tell people what I'm really offering is a coping mechanism that is a very healthy one in a world of tons of destructive and deadly ones. And there's so many people from addiction to suicide, to depression, to anxiety, to all the negativity with drugs and everything in our war, wars going on now and so on, is I tell people, this is a way for you to positively impact yourself and deal with the stresses that you're under in a very healthy way. And it's so important. The minute you write those things down, you can tell your brain, I'm sure they could put, you know, the little probes in there and see that it almost lights up and it's more positive. So it's really amazing what gratitude can do for you physically and mentally.
Yeah, you and I are from the same camp. You know, it's something that I recommend to whether it's my coaching clients or, you know, my psychotherapy clients and even friends like you know, that are struggling. It sounds like you had a friend that did that as well to you. Mm-hmm. Gratitude can truly change your life. And I'm curious, David, what do you say to the people that are like, well, the problems in the world are really huge and this seems really simplistic? How do you address that?
Well, I think it's a great question. It's like somebody said recently to me, can you be grateful when you're grieving? Is that possible? And so there's always going to be the naysayers. There's always going to be the people that are going to say that, you know, well, gosh, what is there to be happy about or whatever? And I know, for instance, my father, unfortunately, as I mentioned, took his own life. But he at one point said to me, I said, Dad, I said, this is in my early 20s. I said, all you do is complain. And he said to me, did it ever occur to you, I might just like to complain? And I thought, gosh, what an answer. And then I answered him back and I said, well, did it ever occur to you, I might not want to hang out with you then? Because I don't want to be around the complainer. And so we get a choice. And so when you think about what makes it interesting to me, if you look at life and depending on your belief system, you know, we're all born and we all die. And there's that line about in the cemetery is there's the birth date and the death date and the dash. And the dash is your life. That's what you did during those two dates that determine when you came on this earth and when you left. So that dash represents your life. And then you get to choose every day. And that's why I like the idea you can get out of the bed on the left side or the right side. It's a choice. Nobody gets in your brain and wires your brain. So there'll always be the negative Nellies that will say, well, gosh, I mean, ultimately, I mean, somebody said to me the other day, and I think I made it into a Monday morning minute or something was, you know, why take care of yourself? We're all going to die anyway. And wow, what an attitude. So, but we do have a choice. We get to make that choice. And it's, you know, that freedom of choice that we get, nobody again can wire our brain. So I tell people that are willing, if you're looking for a coping mechanism, if you're looking for a mindset, an attitude of gratitude, a gratitude practice, this is what I offer. But I also recognize, Steph, that there's going to be people that no matter what you say, are always going to be negative. They're just, maybe they're programmed that way. And it's just, there's not much you can do, but it's like people that are believers have faith, you know, the ones that do have faith and don't have faith. You never can convert everybody, but you can get people and show them for people that need some tools and need some guidance that this is a great mindset. So it can make such a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that what you're saying is true, that there is research out there. It's not just that it's some nice thought or just, you know, a flighty theory. There really is, you know, empirical research around people that have a gratitude practice and that they feel better. And it, you know, it reminds me of in 1999, when Marty Seligman became the president of the Psychiatric Association, he really changed the way that we looked at diagnosis and what we focused on. Because what we used to focus on in psychotherapy, I can say, before that was, let's just look at anxiety. Let's just look at depression and what makes up those. What are the criteria that are needed for those? And he changed it to, no, let's look at how do we cultivate courage? How do we grow resiliency and grit? And it was like on these very positive attributes. So it's also, how do we grow well-being through gratitude? Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm hearing, that for you, when you had all these different things going on in your life, something started switching for you as you focused on gratitude. What did you notice, David? What was the first thing as you started your gratitude practice? What would you say is the first thing you noticed, and how long did it take to start feeling a difference?
Well, I think that it kind of ties into when I do a talk. I mentioned earlier, I just got back from Los Angeles. I was there last week on Friday. And it's interesting. I do a number of exercises during my talks. And so I've got some little 3x5 cards I pass out, and then I have people pick a partner and their things. It's a very interactive type of talk for a keynote speech. And so it's kind of based on some of the things I learned in the beginning, which is how do you impact a change with somebody? And so when you do, for instance, this gratitude exercise, this is a perfect example of how I noticed when I was writing in that gratitude journal, the same friend that said, get the gratitude journal. I noticed when I wrote in the gratitude journal afterwards, I felt better. And I was focusing on everything. And somebody had said to me, well, do you write the same things every day? And I go, well, let me ask you something. Are you grateful for your health every day? I am, you know, so health is generally in there. My two sons are in there. And the fact that I have a roof over my head, I have a nice fireplace to keep me warm yesterday during watching TV or, you know, whatever it might be, a warm bed, a hot shower. And so I do this exercise where, and this is the best way I can answer that question, Stephanie, is I say to people, okay, let's try something here. And I said, let's pick a number between 1 and 10. And what that is your daily number. So right at this very moment, not people all say right now. And I go, no, 3 weeks ago. No, right now. And so 10 is the best day of your life. And 1 is one of the worst days of your life. And I said, I want just a very personal exercise. And I give them this little card. And I said, now write down that number. You can do halves. Maybe you're having a great day. Maybe you're an 8.5 or a 9, 9.5. Maybe you're having a tough day. Maybe you're a 4. You're not going to share it with anybody, but just write that number down. So then they write their number down. I said, put a circle around it. Okay. Now I want you to write 1, 2, 3, 4. Write 4 numbers. And I'm going to have you write something down on each of those numbers. So get that written down. Okay. Now, numbers 1, 2, and 3, I want you to write down the number one thing you're grateful for, at number 2, the second thing you're most grateful for, and at number 3, the third thing you're most grateful for. So they write those 3 things down. They think about it for a minute, write it down. And I said, then at number 4, I want you to think about this for 10 or 15 seconds. What was the highlight of your day yesterday? What was the best thing that happened to you yesterday? Could be family, could be kids, could be work, could be personal, professional, whatever. Whatever that is, write that down. So they think about that, they write that down. Say, okay, so now I've taken the time to write this down. Now take another 10 or 15 seconds and just slowly reread those 3 things you're grateful for. And then number 4, highlight your day. And then I want you to write another number at the bottom of number 4. The number could be the same or the number could have changed for your daily number. And then put a circle around it. So then they do that. So then, okay, has everybody got it? Great. Now, by show of hands, how many people's number from the top to the bottom went up? Invariably, 2/3 of the people's number went up. And I said, so there is a 30-second, 60-second example of what 5 minutes with the Daily Gratitude Journal, that gratitude guy's Daily Gratitude Journal, can do for you. Because you planted it in your brain. And so when I noticed that, that's what I noticed the most in the beginning, is I could shift my mindset. In this case, as I called it, my daily number. And part of the reason why I felt this is so important, if I use my scale of 1 to 10, most days I get my gratitude journal and I start in my hour of power in the morning and I do my meditation and my gratitude journal, make my bed, take my shower, do all these things before I even turn on the computer. So I write in that gratitude journal and I'm focusing on what I have. I'm generally an 8 or a 9, and sometimes I'm having a tough morning or something. But after I write in that gratitude journal, the number always goes up. And so when I see that consistently, why wouldn't you want to write in that every day? And I know, for instance, it's funny, after doing a big talk for a big group of people, they'll come to the table and they'll buy gratitude journals. And one day this guy looks at one, he says, is this your personal journal? And I said, yeah, this is the one that I write in. So he thumbs through it. Can I look at it? And he thumbs through it. And I said, don't look at it too closely, but just, you know, you can thumb through it. And so he goes, wow, you write in this every day. I said, were you in the talk? Were you in the other room? Were you listening to the talk? I said, of course I write in it every day. It makes me feel better. And so it's a combination of focusing on what you're grateful for, writing it down and seeing it in print. And then another great bonus, which I don't mention that much, but I should, you can go back to those gratitude journals, because my gratitude journal lasts about 3 or 4 months. So you need about 3 or 4 of them a year. And I can think, what was I thinking on the day that something happened that was a big day in my life, something bad, something good. And I go back and look what I wrote, and it can be very instructive to see what I said to that day, especially if it was a tough day. Well, Connor and Kyle are still doing great. And I've got this, I live in the house and I don't live in the tent, you know, whatever. And it can be very helpful. So that was really where it really started for me, is seeing the impact of that. And then thinking, well, if this worked for me, it'll certainly work for other people as well.
I'm your host, Stephanie James. Thank you so much for joining us. It's listeners like you that make such a difference. And I'm just hoping that you will continue to spread the sparks. If you're inspired today, please subscribe to the show and send any comments that you want. You can follow me on stephaniejames.world and find out all about events that I have coming up. And you can find out about my new book, Becoming Fierce, Creating a Bold and Beautiful Life, as well as the film that is coming out now on Plex and the More You channel, When Sparks Ignite. So more about that later. Right now, we're here with David George Brook, the Gratitude Guy, just having a great conversation. So David, you have this great daily practice, and it sounds like it makes such a difference. Can you share any stories with us of people that you've worked with or coached and the transformation you've seen within them as they start to practice gratitude?
Absolutely. I think the biggest thing that I notice is where when I mentioned the 1 to 10 that we were just talking about, is that when you are a 9 or a 10 on the self-esteem, on the gratitude number scale or whatever, your entire life works better. If you look at people that suffer from low self-esteem, say they're not doing very well and they're a 2, 3, or 4, they behave in manners and they behave in ways that aren't very flattering. And if you think about the better, you see that person in the mirror every morning, brushing your teeth, brushing your hair, whatever it might be. And when you really like that person, when you're on using my scale as an 8, 9, or 10, everything works better in your life. And so I think that's been something that I hadn't really thought about that was kind of a bonus of really when I coach people. And part of the gratitude coaching is, of course, centered around the gratitude journal. And are you writing it in the morning? You write it at night? Do you make some extra notes during the day? Do you look back and reflect on it or whatever? But I think the biggest thing that, maybe not the biggest, but one of the biggest things is how much it affects their confidence. And it's almost like, I remember recently, I was never that heavy, but I'd lost quite a few pounds. And I just looked in the mirror and I thought, gosh, you look so much better. And I wasn't fat or heavy, I don't think. I just was heavier than I should have been. But I thought, man, it never occurred to me how much it would affect my confidence when I walk up on stage. And I think I look better at 180 than at 200 or whatever it might be. And so it's kind of similar with the gratitude and the gratitude journal, is that you have, when you have more confidence, not only does your life work better, but often your personal or professional things work as well. And I think that if I think of specific examples, a lot of who I've coached have been speakers. And so when you ground it in gratitude and you focus on, again, all your blessings and your abundance, and you don't worry about your lack, if you will, you become a better speaker, you become a better presenter. And there's people I've met that were, this just comes to mind recently because I taught a class called So You Want to Be a Speaker. People have these incredible messages out there, but if they don't do a good job speaking, if they're saying every other word, if they're stuttering, if they're stammering, if they're not making good eye contact, whatever, the message gets really severely diluted. And it's so important. And one of the things I've said that is in actually one of my modules, I call this kind of a four-part thing. It's called find yourself, find your talent, find your passion, find your purpose. And first and foremost is this relationship you have with yourself. And I think this kind of goes in order to where you get to your purpose. And one of the ways to get that really great connection with yourself is through gratitude. And you're constantly peppering your mind every day with all your blessings, and it can't help but want to elevate your spirit and your mood. So then you have that good relationship with yourself. Next is find your talent. And as I've said, if you're a 5 foot, 125 pound young man, you're probably not going to play quarterback in the NFL, but you can maybe be a jockey or something. So find that talent. And as I remind people, make your strengths productive, make your weaknesses irrelevant. It's so, so important. Find out what your strengths are and build on them and make them important to you. Your weaknesses, make them irrelevant. I can talk to 10,000 soldiers down at Joint Base Lewis-McChord as an example, but I can't draw a circle to save my life. So I'm not going to go take an art class. You know, I just, it's not my deal, you know. And then next is finding your passion. And so here are people that, again, have gotten gratitude. So then they think, what is my passion? I'm clearly very passionate about gratitude and its message. But for the people that are, that maybe aren't sure what it is, I said, well, what would you do if you had all the money you could ever use? What would you do if every morning you looked on your computer and your checking account had a fresh $1 million in it, or something you couldn't possibly spend? Or what did you want to do when you grew up? Or what would you do for free? Or any of those things to try to figure out what your passion is. What's something you could do that could change the world? That can sometimes lead somebody to their passion. And then I think finding yourself, your talent, your passion, I think leads to your purpose. And I think that we're hardwired to find our purpose. And you and I had chatted about this a little bit earlier. I don't think everybody seeks that out. They may be hardwired, but they're satisfied with whatever journey they're on, which is fine. But I think ultimately, I think we want to know what our purpose is. And I read something recently that it says that people that have a purpose, especially when you get up to be my age range, live 7 to 10 years longer if they have a purpose. And I think about friends and acquaintances of mine that are retired or semi-retired. Boy, they don't have a lot going on. And it's, I mean, how much golf can you play? How many times can you check the stock market? How many times can you go to Starbucks and have coffee? And yet I get to have this mission I'm on of getting as many people educated as possible about gratitude. So it makes a big difference. And I think that having that is that mindset is, I always say this, I just offer it to people as something that can really help you, but the person has to want to be helped too. And another thing I'm fond of saying is that I will be your training wheels, but I'm not going to pedal your bike. And I think the good Lord gives you a toolbox, but I think you need to build the house. I think it kind of works that way. So it's something that I will get through to as many people as I can, but there's just so many stories of people that have become more confident, been able to get their message out there, better marriage, better work, better life. And then, as I say, the speakers, because that's on my mind more recently, to become a better speaker. And it's, and the reason I mentioned that thing is I've watched some people with a tremendous message, but if every other word is you don't hear the message, you just hear the ums. So it's just, so there's a lot of ways that people have really improved their life. And I think their gratitude journal is, you know, right next to their favorite recipe book in the kitchen for their newest recipe for today or something. But it's just interesting. It's just such a great tool to use to keep your mind in the right direction.
You and I are so much in the same camp, David, and I love hearing you speak about all this. And I love, I mean, there's so many things. So one of the things I love, number one, is that I think I may have shared with you in our last conversation that I used to have this sign in my kitchen that says it's never too late to live happily ever after.
Oh, I like that.
And I really see that for me, my life began at 50. I mean, my life exploded, I'd have to say. You know, I always tell people life begins at 50. And for you, it was in your 60s. I mean, you were finally, it's like living our passions and doing the things that lit us up. So it's never too late for people to begin this journey. And I think that's one of the essential messages here. And I have to agree, a big thing for me in the morning that one of the things I speak with people about a lot is priming your mind. And how do we prime heart, mind, body, soul to go into our day? Mm-hmm. And gratitude is always a part of that. It's that essential priming. And I love it. You write it down and it's like you're telling our minds that have a natural negativity bias. Mm-hmm. Our minds are always scanning the environment for a threat. So it's saying, hey, here's something to focus on instead. Because we know that negative things in the brain are like Velcro and positive things are like fried eggs on a Teflon pan. Mm-hmm. So we have to give our thoughts some stickability, and writing them down is one of those ways. Yeah. So writing down and feeling into your gratitude, so awesome and important. And I love the one about what was the greatest thing that happened yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So powerful. And it just, again, it changes what we focus on. It changes that RAS, you know, the reticular activating system that's going to be noticing things the next moment and the next moment.
Well, and I think it's so interesting that we are programmed to be negative in many ways. And sometimes there's the fear of flight, and we're always under attack. And from our earlier caveman days, if you will, as the humans developed and so forth. But I think that's what's interesting to me is that, again, I keep saying it is a choice. And so when you think about it, I was talking to a friend the other day saying how, I mean, life, there's birth and then there's death. Everybody dies. And at least for me, sometimes I once thought, you know, life would almost make more sense if everybody lived forever, but that's just not the way it works. So the end result is death. So that's not a pretty picture. I've been to too many funerals that I want to even think about of people that are close to me that have passed on, but that's how it works. So between those two dates and that dash, if that's our life, you get to choose how you want to live that. And so if you want to be negative and say, well, gosh, the sky is falling and it's all negative, and we're going to, that guy said the other day, why take care of yourself? You're going to die anyway. That's your choice. And I think that to me, it's so interesting. That's why I like that I'll be your training wheels, but I'm not going to pedal your bike. If you have the basic core, I can help you. Stephanie can help you. Many people can help you to even up your game, if you will. But if at your core, you're negative, and whether you want to blame it on your upbringing or whatever, there's really probably not a lot you can do. And I think it's interesting in my life, because I mentioned not only did my father take his own life, but he was such a complainer and he was so negative. But I'm one of the more positive people you're going to meet. So it doesn't have to be your DNA. It doesn't mean, well, that's always the way it's been. It's like, I think there's a difference between an excuse and an explanation. I can handle an explanation, but I don't really care for an excuse. So I think if a person chooses to see this as a mindset, and I think I can think of nothing better than all the people in the world and how we have a mindset than being in a talk. And I happen to be a person that doesn't use PowerPoint slides. I just don't like it. I don't like to have people that they have the slides don't work sometimes, and then they just read them. And I want to look at every single person in the audience. I want to see them. I want to see them smiling like Stephanie is. I want to see them nodding their head. I want to see their eyes go wide and things like this. And then every so often I look down, here's somebody like on their phone. They're like texting, and I just go, you know what, Dave, I'm sitting there at the podium thinking, can't get to everybody. You can get it. Just get a high percentage. That's all I want to shoot for. And, and then even one guy comes up to the book table, and he'd been the guy who's on his phone. I recognize him. And he says, I was taking notes. I was on my notepad putting things on. Gosh, I guess I got zapped on that one. So, you know, but it's just, if you can get through to a high percentage of people, because there'll always be the naysayers. And that's just how life works. There's the, like the bell curve that goes from one extreme to the other. A lot of people in the middle, but there's each polar opposite. So if you can impact people, and I think for me, and I'm sure Stephanie, this has happened to you many times, when one person tells you they changed their life today, if it's only one person, I don't care. That's one more person that gets changed from yesterday. And that's so valuable. And it's just, and I think for me too, it's, I always thought this, I don't know if this seems selfish or not, but I just, at some point, once I started this, once I realized my dream of becoming a speaker, it was important to me to be recognized and knowing that I made a difference while I lived here. And I remember on the earth, and I remember seeing the tomb of the unknown soldier back in Washington, D.C. And I just thought, gosh, how sad. Here's somebody that was born and raised and became a soldier and died. We don't even know who it is. And they gave their life for the war. And I thought, I just want to be, if it's that gratitude guy, somebody trying to spread a message of positivity, and maybe even more importantly, a mindset or a gratitude practice or an attitude of gratitude that can give you a coping mechanism that can really help you handle life a lot more effectively. Because not only is life end in death ultimately, but it's this huge roller coaster. It's up and down. And when you're up, everybody loves you. Everybody returns your phone calls. Everybody thinks you're great. When you're down, nobody returns your phone calls. You don't feel very good. Nobody knows where you are. You want to be up here again, but it's down below where you get all the lessons. That's where you learn things in life. It's not when you're flying high. So gratitude will help you focus on keeping yourself on an even keel and seeing these blessings. And even though it's been used for years, but kind of the glass half full versus half empty, I'd rather see it as half full. So it's just a better mindset.
This is so fun.
I know. Well, it's funny too, because it's like when you and I first met, and then when you did the podcast last week, it really is just like a conversation. And there's just so many people that you meet that you feel like you could talk to them all day long. Or another thing is the hour conversation feels, we may have talked about this, feels like 5 minutes. And then there are people I've had a 5 minute conversation feel like 3 hours.
Yeah, I know. I know. And I remember the interview with you were like, it felt like 15 seconds.
I know.
It was so quick.
I know.
So Okay, so we'll do a 10-minute last section. Is there anything, David, that you want to make sure that I bring up?
No, I think that's been good. I always like to, get into how you can reach me at thatgratitudeguy.com or the gratitude journal, that kind of thing. But other than that, I think is just sort of that concept. If you're searching or if you're hurting or any of those things, give gratitude a try. That's what I think of more than anything else, is that, gosh, with so many people in mental health issues, et cetera, there's a lot of sadness, a lot of negativity in our world. And this is something that can help in many, many cases.
Beautiful. Okay. So coming back, 3, 2, 1, welcome back to the Spark. I wanted to also let you all know that you can get my first book, The Spark, Igniting Your Best Life, at Amazon. And I would love to have you get the book and write a review. Let me know what touched your life, what lit you up, and what I can do to help inspire you in the future. I'm always looking for feedback. So appreciate you being here, always sending gratitude to my listeners. And speaking of gratitude, I am here with the Gratitude Guy. We've been having a conversation with David George Brooke. David, as we're getting closer to the end of the show, I think it's essential to talk about, this whole thing with, we were talking about people in hard times and what gratitude really does for them. Can you speak to that?
Absolutely. And again, I'm trying to be positive, but if you look at the other side of the ledger, these are the things we have to be realistic. I live in Seattle, Washington. We have an incredible amount of homelessness, and the streets are overrun. But I think they did a census recently. There was like 50 or 60,000 homeless people. It was just incredible, way beyond what I would have imagined. So whether it's homelessness or it's drugs or it's anxiety, depression, suicide, the war in Ukraine. I mean, there's so many things you could look at that are negative. And I think that fortunately, or in this case, unfortunately, it's always going to be part of our life. As I was asking somebody once about it, I didn't really quite understand when I looked at the scope of life. And somebody said, there has to be a symmetry. There has to be, if there's an up, there has to be a down. If there's a happy, there's a sad. There tends to be a balance. So if we admit that it's kind of like the book, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. And part of his message was, it's part of that balance. It can't be all good. There always has to be a equal and opposing force, if you will. So I can believe that, and I subscribe to that. So, but then going through that, we've got choices that we can make at how we handle that positive and negative type thing. So again, whether it's any of those types of problems that we have, the thing that I love so much about gratitude, it doesn't matter where your social standing is in life, from very rich to very poor, to very happy, to very sad, to very intelligent, to unintelligent, whatever you want to do, wherever you are, gratitude can always move the needle for you. It doesn't matter, again, where on the continuum you are. So I just offer it to people that at any type of situation in their life, if they try it, it makes such a big difference. And I think about the gratitude journal, of course, where, as I said, writing it empowers you when you write it. And I noticed that my original gratitude journal was called the Brooker's Daily Gratitude Journal. And that's because my nickname in college was the Brooker. And my fraternity brothers would call me and say, I need a dose of the Brooker. And I was always kind of Mr. Motivation, Mr. Inspiration. And so they would call me and I'd get them, tell me what's going on. I kind of get them fired up and stuff. And so now they call me and they say, I kind of need a little bit of inspiration. I go, let me ask you something before we go any further. Have you written in your gratitude journal yet? And they go, no. So I just hang up on them. I just hit the off button. And 3, 5 to 6 seconds later, they call back. I think we got cut off. They go, no, we didn't. No, we didn't. I hung up on you. Go write in your gratitude journal and then call me. You have to take some responsibility. Back to the, I'll be the training wheels, but I'm not going to pedal your bike. So it's so important to know that we do have options out there. And this gratitude journal, whether you're severely depressed or you're thinking about suicide or whatever, I mean, there's various tools and opportunities. There's a suicide hotline. There's things that can happen. But I just say to people, try gratitude. It's just so important to see what happens, and it can make such a difference. And I've watched it when I use that little exercise about how your mood changes from one number to another number. But I think it's also interesting as I sit at that book table and people buy gratitude journals for their kids and gosh, and I'll have this conversation a lot and I'm always a little uncomfortable with it because they say, I'm going to buy two books for my two sisters because they're both really depressed and they're both really down. And I go, well, I'm happy to sell them to you, but I will just mention that most of the time a person's going to write in a gratitude journal is going to want to write it in themselves. And they're, if they pay $20 for it, there's more of a value than if they get it free. There's something about that that makes it, but go ahead and give it a try and see what happens. So then people will say, well, if you had any one thing to say to me, what's the last thing, whether I'm doing a podcast or radio show or a talk or whatever, what's one thing you'd like to leave with the listeners? And I always say that the one thing I would leave is just try something. And even if it's that gratitude journal, as I mentioned earlier, it takes 5 to 6 minutes to write in it. But even if you wrote for 1 minute, even if you wrote one sentence, even if you put down one word or two words, my health, I'm grateful for, my son, my daughter, whatever it might be. And the reason that's so important, it's better to do less than you hope for than nothing at all. So if you at least start off with something that's small, then maybe tomorrow you write two words. And then the next week, next day, you'll write a sentence and maybe two sentences. But to watch it and to give it a try, I feel like we've turned, somebody said this to me recently, it was a doctor friend of mine, and I thought it was so well said, is that they say, well, how do I get in better health physically or mentally? Well, you're going to need to lose weight and drink water and take your vitamins and exercise and get your sleep and all this. And he said, a lot of the people look at him and go, can't you just write me a prescription? That's kind of what I need. That other stuff kind of seems, well, you know, it's not, nothing ventured, nothing gained. It's something that takes some effort, but the same thing with gratitude. When you see what happens to you and how it makes you reframe your life, you just, I mean, like, I can't imagine, like that guy said, you write in this every day. I said, because I always feel better. So why wouldn't you want to write in it every day? So it's really about just offering people this, wherever you are and in all this madness that we're going through, that at least to give this a try, it can really work for you. And I think that's maybe the biggest message I have of all is that, and it's so simple because it's just writing in a gratitude journal. And again, planting that in your brain. And it's just such a healthy coping mechanism. And that's why I just am so fond of that message.
Yeah, such a great message. And David, how do people get a hold of you? How can people contact you, find out about events that you're doing or sign up for coaching with you?
You bet. Thank you, Stephanie. A couple of things. Number one, it's my website's thatgratitudeguy.com. So you can reach me through there. Also for people email me all the time, David@thatgratitudeguy.com, which is, a lot of people ask me about my coaching. And so also if people are interested in coaching, I offer a 30-minute complimentary coaching consultation. And how you get that is you text the word coach, COACH, to my text number, 206-371-8309. That's 206-371-8309. And then I will send you back a scheduling link. And then the last thing that a lot of people like is every Monday morning, I send out my Monday morning minute. It's a 60-second video to kind of start your week off on a good note. Always, of course, about gratitude, a different subject about gratitude every week. And in order to sign up for that, you go to your text again and you type in the number 22828 in the number box. That's 5 digits, 22828. And in the message box, type in gratitude guy, all one word, and it'll send you a link and you put in your email and then you'll get the Monday morning minute. So you also get a Friday focus on gratitude too. So they have usually two messages a week. So those are some of the ways. And I appreciate you letting me tell everybody that.
Absolutely. Well, and thank you, David, so much. I mean, you just are such a light and you just share such an important message that we all need right now. And I just really appreciate you and appreciate you so deeply sharing all this with our listeners.
Thank you. Thank you. The pleasure has been mine. It's been fantastic. Thank you, Stephanie.
Well, and thank all of you listeners. We, David and I both have a lot of gratitude for all of you. And so stay tuned for more episodes of The Spark. This is the place where you go to get inspiration and motivation and hear from thought leaders, wisdom keepers, and change makers from all over the world that inspire you and share the best in their hearts and minds. Thank you so much for listening.